Imagine you wake up with $86,400 in your bank account. And you can't invest it or save it. You can only spend it. And at the end of the night, whatever you didn't spend disappears. Now imagine if this happened every single day. What would you do with the $86,400 every day? Would you ever leave a single penny unspent? Of course not. Well, each and every day, we are given 86,400 seconds. It's deposited into your bank account called life. And every day, whatever you don't spend is lost forever. Nobody would throw away money, so how can we possibly do that with our time? Time is infinitely more valuable than money. There's never borrowing time. You can't take a loan out on your time or against someone else's. The time you have is the time you have, and that is that. Time management is your decision of how you spend your time, your 86,400 seconds. We can never say that we don't have enough time. We have 86,400 seconds every single day. The question isn't whether or not you have time to do something, but where it falls amongst your priorities. The greatest achievers in the world have the same exact amount of time as everyone else in their day. Now this connects to a very important theme in this week's Parsha. In Parsha Tetzava, we're introduced to the Avnei Miluim, the 12 beautiful stones placed within the Choshen, the breastplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Now many commentaries explain that the 12 unique stones represent the 12 Shvatim, each destined to fulfill their own unique role and purpose. All of the Shvatim then come together to create a single Klal, a single nation, whereby the individuals come together in such a brilliant way that the result transcends the sum of its parts. And so too, each of us are destined to fulfill a unique role in the world, to embark on our own unique journey to greatness, and to become part of something infinitely greater than ourselves. But hold on a second. In essence, this is just another inspiring pitch for us to achieve greatness. Rabbis, inspirational speakers, psychologists, they'll almost invariably claim that we should strive for greatness. It seems as if this is the goal of life, to become great. Yet, very few people will actually articulate or explain why we should strive for greatness. Psychologists from across time and disciplines have often claimed that the secret to happiness is largely found in achievement and personal fulfillment. But this obsession with achieving happiness reveals the assumption of popular psychology that the goal and purpose of life is to be happy. Is that really true? What's the Jewish perspective on the goal of life? Do we limit ourselves to our own individual happiness? Or should we be striving for something even deeper and greater? But to take it a step further, some people might claim that they're perfectly happy not striving for perfection. And if greatness is merely to attain happiness, then if we can achieve happiness without achieving greatness, then there would be nothing wrong with that. So this begs the obvious question, is there perhaps a deeper purpose to achieving greatness and striving for perfection? But there's another question which is deeply connected to this topic. Many people who sincerely want to believe in Hashem, who have embarked on a genuine spiritual journey, are troubled by the following paradox. If we believe that Hashem, the God of the universe, is perfect, then how can He create such an imperfect world? Wouldn't a perfect God create a perfect world? Why are there so many natural disasters? Why is there poverty? Why is there sickness? But furthermore, if the purpose of life is to become perfect, to become great, then why did Hashem create a world full of challenges and ordeals, making it difficult, in fact, nearly impossible to reach perfection? Essentially, what we're asking is the most fundamental question you can ask. Why did Hashem create the world? But before we try to answer this question, there are two fundamental prerequisites. We have to state the following two qualifications. First, whenever we speak of Hashem, we are only referring to our relationship with Him and how He appears to us, not the infinite, objective, and unknowable truth of His reality. As the Rambam, the Maharal, and the Ramchal, and many other Balei Machshava say, we can never know Hashem Himself. We can only know how He manifests and appears to us. The following mashal, the following analogy, will hopefully make this clear. You can never truly know your friend or your loved one. As shocking as it may seem, you will never really know them. You will never see their thoughts, their mind, their consciousness, or even their emotions or how they feel. All you can ever see is how they express themselves through their physical body, their actions, their words, their facial expressions, their body language. Only through this can you come to know someone more and more. And similarly, we can never know Hashem Himself. He's infinite and completely beyond our comprehension. However, we can know Hashem by understanding the way He reveals Himself to us through His actions, through the physical world, and through His Torah, which is a revelation of His will and His thought. So when we talk about why Hashem created the world, we're only talking about it based on our understanding of Hashem. And the second prerequisite is to understand that Hashem did not have to create the world. The Rambam and Ramchal and many others explain that Hashem chose to create the world. Unlike Aristotle, who claimed that God was forced to create the world, it's a very definition of His being, we believe that Hashem chose to create the world through His own free will. So now let's begin the answer. The Maharal and the Ramchal, the Arizal, as well as many other Jewish thinkers, provide a fundamental understanding of why Hashem created the world. The Ramchal explains in Das Tvunos, Derech Hashem, and the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim as follows. Hashem is absolute and ultimate goodness. However, there are two aspects of goodness. Hashem is good, but He also has the ability to do good unto others. Before Hashem created the world, there was only Hashem Himself. And therefore, Hashem was internally good, but He wasn't actively giving or doing good unto others. Hashem then chose to actualize His potential ability to give good unto others by creating man, the being upon whom Hashem would bestow the ultimate goodness. If Hashem's goal in creating the world was to bestow the ultimate goodness onto man, we must then ask, what is the ultimate goodness that Hashem can give? But if Hashem Himself is the ultimate goodness, then the ultimate goodness Hashem could give is the ability to enjoy Hashem Himself, to enjoy godliness, enjoying the deepest and ultimate connection with Hashem. This is the ability to be all-knowing, all-kind, all-loving, all-powerful, to have complete self-control. These are truly godly experiences. And to explain this approach from a different angle, when Hashem created man, He did so to create a marriage relationship with Him. Marriage is when two people connect in such a deep way that they existentially fuse into one being. As we've explained in the past, this is why Adam and Chava were originally created as one being. It was to show them and us that the goal of marriage is to become one, to recreate that original oneness that they once shared. This is also why the relationship between Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, and Hashem is referred to as a marriage. At Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, the Jewish people married Hashem. The mountain served as the chuppah, the marriage canopy, and we became one. Shir HaShirim is a sefer, which Chazal interpret as being a description of the love relationship that exists between Hashem and the Jewish people. This is the original connection that Hashem intended to forge with man when he created him. Hashem therefore created us in this world to earn Olam Haba, the world to come, the place where we can each enjoy this existential connection and oneness with Hashem. However, there is an obvious problem. If Hashem's goal was to give us the ultimate goodness, which is defined as connection and fusion with Him, and Olam Haba, the world to come, is the place of this ultimate connection, then what's the purpose of this world, the physical world? Why did Hashem decide to create us in this world where we have to earn our share in the world to come? If Hashem really wanted to give us the ultimate good, then why not give it to us to begin with? Why do we have to go through the difficult process of earning it in this physical world? And furthermore, so many people don't seem to be succeeding. How many people do you know who are genuinely striving for greatness and achieving perfection? The Ramchal explains, based on the Gemara in Yerushalmi, the deep answer behind this is that human beings were created in such a way that we don't enjoy free handouts. A poor person is embarrassed to receive money from people. He feels ashamed. He knows he didn't earn it. This is termed in the Gemara in Yerushalmi the bread of embarrassment. This is why the halacha is that it's better to give a poor person a loan instead of a free handout, because this way he'll be able to eventually pay you back and feel independent. But even better is to get him a job, which will endow him with a more complete sense of independence and dignity. So bringing it back, if Hashem would have created us in Olam Haba, in the world to come, it would have been free, unearned. This is the type of perfection that malachim, angels, enjoy. However, this is not the ultimate enjoyment. The ultimate enjoyment is perfection that is earned, that is chosen, that is an expression of all the hard work you put in. Psychologically, we feel so much more connected to achievements and rewards that we've earned than those that we've received for free. Just think about a child who works for a week to earn $20 compared to that same child who gets $20 for free. He would feel very differently towards them. Yet, while this appears to answer our problem and appears to answer our question, there is still a very obvious problem that remains. Why didn't Hashem just create us differently? We know that Hashem put us in this world in order to give us the opportunity to earn our reward instead of simply receiving it for free, so that it will be much more enjoyable. But if Hashem created the world, why didn't Hashem just create us in a way that we do enjoy gifts and free handouts as much as we enjoy things that we've earned through our hard work? We can't look backwards at human psychology and how we currently are wired to then explain why Hashem created us this way. If Hashem had chosen to create us differently, psychology and human experience would reflect that. So why didn't Hashem simply create us differently? In order to understand this, we need to keep in mind that the true enjoyment of the world to come is not something artificial or external. It's not a gift which is handed from one person to another. We are talking about an existential relationship, a connection of oneness. A human being can't have a relationship with a rock. Why? Because a rock is completely and utterly different than a human being. There would be no connection, nothing real, because you can only have a relationship, a deep connection with an essence that is similar to you. This is why human beings can have such deep relationships with each other. If Hashem would have created us in Olam Haba, in the world to come, in such a way that we enjoyed free handouts, we would have been the exact opposite of Hashem. Hashem would be the giver. We would be the taker. Hashem would have free will. we would have no choice. Hashem would be the creator and we would be the created. No one would have given Hashem his perfection, but Hashem would have given us ours. Since we'd be so different from Hashem, this would not allow for the ultimate connection with him. And thus, this would not result in the greatest expression of Hashem giving his goodness to another. And this is why Hashem created us imperfect. We get to choose and earn our perfection, our godliness. Hashem is perfect. We get to become perfect. Hashem is good. We get to choose to become good. We are born imperfect with the goal of becoming godly, to become perfect, all-knowing, all-good, all-kind, to have complete self-control. However, this is the goal. This is not the starting point. We start out as animalistic beings. As a baby, we are born with no intellectual abilities and no developed character traits. We're selfish. We think that we are the only person who exists. We perceive ourselves as the center of our own universe. We are the exact opposite of godly. But the goal of life is then to become godly, to actualize our potential and to become Tzelem Elokim. As we've explained in the past, the fetus learns Kol HaTorah Kulo in the womb and then loses it upon being born in this world, because we are born imperfect so that we can then journey through this world on the journey of becoming perfect, recreating and earning what we once received as a gift. This is why we have free will. We are tasked with the mission of choosing good, choosing perfection. We can now understand that our mission in this world is to become great, to become godly. We live in a world of time and movement, as our job in this world is to become. Perfection lies in the transcendent realm beyond process, beyond time. Becoming perfect requires time, movement, and process. We need to learn to ride the waves of time, the 86,400 seconds in our day, utilizing them to the best of our ability. The challenges we face, they're not there to stop us from achieving our greatness. Quite the contrary. The Ramban explains that the purpose of challenges are to push us out of our comfort zone, to help us achieve our true potential. Because only when we are pushed to our max do we begin to realize what we are truly capable of. The greatest people do not become great despite their challenges, but rather because of them. And Olam Haba, the world to come, is the experience of everything we've built in this lifetime. Some people think that the world to come is a place where you receive something enjoyable, but in reality, as the Ramchal, the Nefesh HaChayim, and many others explain, Olam Haba is not where you experience something great. It's where you experience you. It's where you enjoy the ecstatic experience of the person and consciousness you've created, everything you've built and become during your lifetime. The problem is that many people think they'll live forever. But in truth, time is dying. Every second fades away. How many years do you really have left on this world? The better question is, what are we doing with the time we have left? May we be inspired to utilize as many of the 86,400 seconds of every day, and may each of us achieve our true greatness.